You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Biggs.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we want to talk about. Is that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have a couple of planned topics that we do like to go over, but we can veer off course.
And veer we shall.
Yes. So
we will take a hard left turn into the fields of randomness.
Take that, explorers.
What?
I don't know. Okay. All those people that want to plan out maps and such. Take that.
Yeah, Lewis and Clark. Take your map and shove it up your... You know where. You've listened to the odd news before.
Yeah, there might be a map up there.
Hold on, let me get out my map. We're starting off on the right foot, aren't we?
We've had other weird things up there.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. That was, well, when you're going exploring, Rich. When you're going exploring, you need, you know, a weapon to protect yourself. Your map. There's a lot of stuff up there.
You have a supply.
A supply closet.
A supply closet up your ass.
You just open it up and pull stuff out. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. It's like a really perverted version of Mary Poppins' handbag. Why do I say these things?
Yeah, you just do. Mike.
These microphones go on, and I'm just like, I'm inclined to say the dumbest things. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so weird.
Also, speaking of dumb things that you say.
Wow.
I gotta throw this one by you.
Okay.
Apparently,
I'm afraid now.
No,
what did I do?
It's not too bad, but
okay.
As longtime listeners know of the show, one of your best mess ups was you mixed dill pickle.
Yeah.
As this
dickle. Yeah, dill pickle came out as dickle. Yeah, I will
dickle.
never live that down.
Dickle.
I love this
dickle.
Thanks.
You
jerk.
Well, I was in the liquor store the other day because I'm an alcoholic.
Okay.
And apparently there's I think it was a bourbon, and it was George Dickel.
No way!
Yeah.
Dickel.
Yep.
That's my story. I was talking about
George Dickel.
George Dickel's...
Dickel.
What was it? Bourbon?
Yeah, I think it was bourbon.
There you go.
It was really expensive, so I didn't buy it. I'm sorry.
Well, I have a fancy taste, so that's why I was buying... The George Dickel bourbon.
But if it was on sale, Mike, I would have bought it for you.
Did you buy... Oh, so you didn't buy the Dickel?
No. I don't need Dickel that expensive.
Dickel.
You get your Dickel on the cheap, right?
Yeah, man. You can get Dickels anywhere.
Dickel.
I love this.
Dickel.
Wow.
So, there you go. We're really starting off the show strong.
I know. We're starting off on the right foot.
Well, all right. Well, before we dive into the actual news topics we have planned for the show, we like to do a little bit of recap as to what we've been up to in the week since we last recorded. And, Mike, what have you been up to? What do you got?
Well, a couple things happened.
Dickel.
No, I didn't go out and buy any George Dickel bourbon. It's too
Dickel.
Expensive. No.
I love this.
Dickel.
I will never, ever live that one down.
Nope.
It's been like 2.5 years. It's still coming back to haunt me.
Dickel.
But, no, this weekend was very exciting. One of my one cousin had a new, baby girl. So congratulations to them. Yeah. And their daughter, Lily. It's, awesome to,
wow.
Yeah. Awesome to welcome a new member to this wild and weird, crazy family.
Hope you know what you're getting yourself into.
Oh my gosh. No, it's awesome.
Radical.
It is. We're all pretty rad. but I also had a chance to watch the movie Foxcatcher this weekend, finally. That was a big one, up for a couple Academy Awards this past year. Was it this past year? Yeah.
Steve Carell was in the running for best actor.
Yes,
right?
He was. And you know what? I can see maybe why he didn't win, because in my opinion, it was really hard to separate this character from Michael Scott, especially one scene in particular. He did this little chuckle, and it sounded very much like Michael Scott from The Office. And it was just too hard to separate the two.
No!
Was there any no's in there?
There were not
no
any
no's. Wrestling! No!
No, no.
No!
No, there were no no's. I said no a lot in that sentence. But it was a good movie, other than that fact, because, you know, he acted strange like Michael Scott would in some cases, and it was just very strange to see that. But overall, I think he did a great job. It was a really interesting movie, a very psychological movie. It was about the character's psyche, so not a lot happened for the first, like, three quarters of it. It was very slow, almost a little boring, but it was pretty good. I would give it a solid 7.5, 8 out of 10. So I do recommend it if you're a fan of Steve Carell. Actually, all the actors in that, Channing Tatum, Mark Ruffalo, and Steve Carell, really all outside of their normal wheelhouse when you think about them. You know, they're all stepping outside of their normal types of projects. So it was interesting to see them in those roles. So, definitely recommend that you go check it out. But other than that, I mean, Memorial Day happened this past week.
Yep, that was a nice treat to have a day off.
Yeah, did you do anything particularly exciting for Memorial Day? We got together over my cousin's house, had a great cookout. But what did you do this past week and weekend and Memorial Day?
We had a family picnic for Memorial Day,
nice.
Which is always fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of my random trip to the liquor store, I tried out something that was on sale.
Okay.
And it was called Dr. McGillicuddy's Apple Pie.
This is a drink?
Yes, it's a drink.
Is it an apple cider? Apple cider? No.
It's a liqueur.
An apple pie flavored liqueur?
Yes.
Ooh.
And it tastes like apple pie. It is unbelievable.
Wow. So
I don't know how they do it. But I'd imagine that if I didn't have anywhere to go and I was drinking, that would be the whole night because it was so tasty.
So does anyone in your family make apple pie? Because you can make apple pie and then have that drink with it.
Yeah.
And have like double apple pie.
Or like drip that liqueur all over the apple pie.
Or like maybe put it into the apple pie itself, you know, like do the mix with it.
But then you're like, but at that point you're putting apple pie into an apple pie.
Oh God. Appleception.
Apple pieception.
Apple pieception.
Yeah.
This pie is three layers deep.
Literally.
That's an awesome pie.
Literally.
Hey, you're making me hungry for pie, Rich. What are you doing?
Damn it, Mike. We're not even 10 minutes in the show and you're hungry already.
Gosh.
Power of pieception.
Power of pieception.
Mike can't last 10 minutes. Pieception. All right. So,
but what else have you been up to other than trying apple pie liqueur?
I mean, I pretty much got some R&R this weekend.
Yeah.
Enjoyed
well,
that extra day off.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Here's one of my favorite things. I love having a Monday off.
Oh, Mondays off are awesome.
I think, personally, I don't know about you guys at home, but a Monday off is infinitely more better than a Friday off. Because, like, a Monday off is you get the three-day weekend, but then you're entering into your following week, and you only have 4 days left to go.
Yeah.
It's like you got a head start, and nobody did anything
for
Monday's you.
Monday's always the toughest day anyway, you know?
Right.
So if you can just skip that tough day, then start on Tuesday. Wednesday's hump day, so you're already there.
Yeah,
Thursday,
we're halfway there. Wednesday.
Exactly. And Friday is basically, you know, everyone's
guess
just
what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Hump day. Yeah, hump day.
Nice.
So, yeah, by that point, it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you just got to get through Thursday, and then Friday. Really, does anybody do any work Friday? Come on.
No, everybody slacks off on Friday.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I would rather have a Monday off than a Friday. And it just works out so much better.
Yeah, you should become a politician and try and make that like a thing. That Mondays are part of the weekend.
It's the edge.
They should
of the
shift
weekend.
The weekend to Sunday and Monday.
You know, there are calendars where Saturday and Sunday are at the end. So Monday, therefore, becomes an end of a week.
That's right. It becomes,
therefore,
yeah.
That should consider be a weekend.
I like that argument. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's shift to a 4-day work week.
Rich Liebig, 2025.
2025?
Yeah. Whatever.
That's not an, okay.
2028.
Yeah. You have to be over 35, right?
Yeah.
You'd be, you would just miss it in 2024, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think.
Why are we sitting here like crunching the numbers when you can run for president?
Because it's going to happen.
Did you guys witness that mental math I was doing? That was impressive.
Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
So anyway, the point is, enjoyed a lovely Monday off. Back to the grind now this week after the Memorial Day break. And also, we're coming to the end of May, so now summer is really kicking in now.
Yeah, let me tell you, when Memorial Day comes, that really brings in the summer for me.
Yeah, it's officially summer mode, I think, as of right now.
Definitely.
I'm wearing shorts now.
Yeah.
Got the t-shirts on.
Yep.
So there you go. That's what we've been up to in the week or so that we've last recorded a show for you guys. And now we like to go into our first segment of the show. It revolves around sports, so we call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yep, sports coming at you in your face.
Yep. They are right there, right in your face. Yeah. So close, you're like, yo, sports, back up a little bit. Calm down, sports. All right, just chill. We're getting there.
We're gonna get there.
Yeah.
And our first story in the sports sampler is, you know what? We got to debut it as like a new segment for sports.
Yeah, I mean this story came across our desk or the kitchen table, it was just so amazing. We just had to create a whole new segment for it.
Yep. So let's launch into some rare basketball news.
This is the NBA on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, brought to you by Victoria's Secret, It's in the Panties, and the NFL, we're throwing you a friggin' bone. We go live to the desk with correspondent Rich Liebig.
So the 76ers had the draft lottery over the past week.
Yes.
And they were the third worst team in the NBA.
Okay.
And they got the third pick in the NBA draft. So guess what?
What?
Nothing happened as far as I'm concerned.
And that wraps it up for the NBA on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo!
All right,
there we go. Enough basketball.
That was plenty of basketball for us.
Yep. Suck at New York Knicks.
Oh, all right.
For those that don't know, by the way, the New York Knicks had the second worst record. They fell to number 4.
Oh. That's why the lottery doesn't make any sense, but that's okay because we ended up where we were supposed to.
Yeah. And in the draft lottery, you make an error.
Whoops.
All right, that's enough basketball. Let's get to our next topic.
Yeah. Well, we do have some baseball news to get to.
Yes. This one is pretty interesting as far as I'm concerned. Over the weekend, we had a game between the Cincinnati Reds and the Cleveland Indians. They had a 3-game series, and apparently tensions were a little bit hot over the umpire's strike zone calls. The Friday night game apparently had a couple of calls that were a little bit questionable. And on Saturday's game, Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price told the umpire about his feelings at the lineup exchange where they hand over the cards with the list of how the batting order is going to be and who's starting where, etc. Brian Price allegedly told the umpire that he was upset, he was still upset over his calls in yesterday's game,
and he didn't want it to bleed into Saturday's game.
Okay. I'm sure he used very polite language.
And probably not, because at this point, before the game even started, the umpire threw out Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price right there.
Wow.
Before first pitch, before the national anthem, before...
They were still in the underbelly of the stadium probably, right?
No, they were on the field.
Oh, they were on the field?
They were on the field.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And
they were in the parking lot. He met him outside the team bus. You're out of here!
Listen to me, you sucked last night. You call a fair game tonight. You're out! Get out of here!
Get back on that bus and go back to Cincinnati!
Yeah. Don't even walk into the damn stadium.
But is this unprecedented in baseball, though, to be ejected before the game?
It is.
It's not, I mean, people get ejected all the time, but before the game, I mean, I think that's pretty rare, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall of an instance where this happened. I mean, I always thought the game had to at least have started before you can kick somebody out of the game.
Yeah, where does it start and stop? Like, can you chase somebody to the bus, like, after the game and eject them then? Or can you go meet them in the locker room beforehand? Like where, you know, what's the limit, you know?
Yeah, I think that opens up a can of worms.
Yeah.
Like, could you, like, if a fight breaks out in the locker room before the game starts, can you kick players out before the game starts?
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah.
I've
never heard
strange.
Of this done in any other sport where the umpires or the referees have authority before the game starts.
You know, this is really weird, and this is going to be really specific, and I don't know why. But in 2005, there was an Eagles game against the Falcons.
Of course you'd bring up football. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, where Jeremiah Trotter, the then inside linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, got into a fight with a third-string cornerback of the Falcons, and they both got expelled from that game prior to the game starting. So I have seen this happen in another sport. But those were players that were fighting on the field during warm-ups. On a nationally televised game.
That also seems more reasonable.
Yeah.
You got into a fight, yeah.
Yeah, rather than the manager saying, you know, I disagree with some of your questionable calls yesterday.
And you're out!
And you're, yeah.
Don't question me!
Well, I have a feeling that it probably wasn't that polite, because apparently this manager has gone on huge curse-filled rants. I mean, they in this article that I'm reading, they mention that he gave a rant that had the F word 77 times in it.
Yep.
So he probably wasn't too, you know, laid back about it.
He's on the same rate as Kanye West.
His press conferences are just like beep the whole time.
Yeah. That little beep needs to beep. Hit the beep.
With a bat. You just have these like random words like ball, bat,
baseball,
blender.
What? What's going on there?
Blender.
Well, anyway, I thought that was just a weird story that apparently you can get kicked out of the game before the game even starts.
Yeah, that is very, very strange.
Also,
you know, this manager's got to, you know, he's got to fly on the straight and narrow now.
Also, I think this also means, like, if you want to take the night off, get yourself kicked out. You know?
Well, why would anybody want to do that?
I don't know, maybe I got a date at 7 o'clock.
So the manager just runs up to the ump and punches him in the face prior to the game?
Just F you and decks him.
What happens if the ump is like, you know what, I've been going through an anger management class and I've learned to let these things slide?
Punch him again.
Punch him again.
Yeah. Be calm and then do it again. But, yeah, I mean, I can't believe that can happen.
Yeah. It is very, very strange. And he's got to work on that. I mean, why would he go and complain to the umps in the first place? Like, what are they going to do? You know, they can't go back in time and change the calls.
Well, no, I think...
He's warning them, you know, I want to see better calls tonight.
Yeah.
But, you know, do it in a way that's not going to get you ejected. Right?
I guess so, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's very odd that you can get kicked out of the game even before the game starts.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Well, I don't know. Should Major League Baseball have rules that limit that to, like, actual game time things? But then you run into situations like, what happens if players start a fight?
Well,
you know,
a fight is different. I mean, come on, a fight's different.
I mean, these were this was probably just some strong words.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if you did that with every time a manager was upset at your call, you'd have managers being ejected left and right.
Yeah, I think umps need to have a little bit thicker skin. I mean, they already have incredibly thick skin, but, you know, like, I don't know. I really would like to know what the manager said to the ump to get himself expelled.
Yeah.
To get himself ejected.
Yep.
Expelled. I'm thinking of, like, expelled. High school students. You're expelled.
Never come back.
Yeah. You're done, mister.
Well, there you go. Random baseball news there from Cincinnati. Thank you. All right, now let's move on. We gotta cover it because there's actually news in the off season. Mike's favorite topic. Time for some football news.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch and fucking football.
I know. Even in the off season, there's football news.
What is it with football? Everywhere you go, football. Go there, football. Football, football, football. Look what the fuck. Sunday football, Monday night football, Thursday football, football on Thanksgiving, football on Christmas. And out of all sports, it's the one everybody goes the most f***ing over. Makes them act like f***ing maniacs.
Yep. And with these two news stories, people are acting like maniacs. Let's go over the first one. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, well, this one gets me kind of annoyed. Gets me acting like a maniac. Because as you all know, we've been following the Deflategate scandal here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Well, recently, it was announced that some New England Patriots fans will be hosting a rally in support of quarterback Tom Brady. The Free Tom Brady Rally will take place Sunday at Gillette Stadium from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they describe themselves as a peaceful rally to protest the unjust football arrest of half-god, half-man Tom Brady.
There's a common enemy! Kill him!
Yeah, because Tom Brady needs so much protecting and rallying. What do you make of this? Is this just sour grapes? Are people, you know, being a little salty over this whole thing? I mean, I thought Tom Brady deserved what he got.
This is just stupid by Patriots fans, all right? It's just nuts. First off,
you won your Super Bowl. What are you bitching about?
Yeah, you won the Super Bowl. Stop complaining. Secondly, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think Roger Goodell is actually going to take back the 4-game suspension?
Yeah. Well, there's 240 fans going, Rich. That's a lot of fans.
Roger Goodell would look like an absolute moron if he went back on the suspension.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen. I don't understand what the point of this is.
Yeah, this is very, very silly. I don't know what they're hoping to accomplish. You know, it just to me it annoys me because Tom, you know, they won their Super Bowl. Tom Brady doesn't need anybody rallying for him. You know, he was found to be part of this whole scandal. So why are you supporting, you know, if this guy was a criminal, why, not that he is a criminal, but just say, you know, would you be supporting somebody that was guilty of, you know, something more serious? Why are you supporting him if he broke the rules? He broke the rules. He got caught. He deserves what he got. Why would you defend somebody like that, you know?
Yeah. I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know because we don't have many Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in the area. So I don't know how I would feel. But, you know, I think they have to face, they have to accept the consequences for their actions.
I just think this is pathetic. Just stop it.
It is pathetic.
Just
it
stop
is.
It.
Quit it. Quit it, Patriots fans.
What are you going to hope to happen? The suspension's not going to get reduced. You know, just deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nothing good will come of this.
Right. All right, now let's get on to the second bit of football news. This is important.
Yeah, this is something that will actually impact the game, unlike the Tom Brady thing. But we mentioned, I think, a couple months ago, possible rules changes that would adjust where the point after attempt is made from. And the changes have gone through. It's official this year. Extra point attempts will be placed at the 15-yard line, making the extra point kick about a 30 to 32-yard field goal instead of, what is it now, like a 20-some-yard field goal?
Yeah, about there.
Yeah. And the reasoning behind this is because the kicking percentage for point after attempts at the 2 yard line was over 99%, basically 100%.
Yeah.
You know, 99.9 or whatever they put on those antibacterial commercials.
You could goof up on the point after kick and you could still make it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
As long as it just gets airborne, you're good.
Yeah. The new placement, they say kickers from that range, the 30 yard range, kick about 92-93%. So it's still a very high percentage, but there's more room for error. It makes it a little more exciting, because players are also now allowed to return turnovers for points on point after attempts. That's the other big thing.
Before, on a point after attempt, if the defense touched the ball, it was a dead ball. There was no chance to score from the defense, but now defenses can score.
Yes, and that, I think, holds true for the two-point conversion as well, which is another interesting facet of this rule change. The two-point conversion will stay at the two-yard line. So, again, this is in the hopes that more teams will go for a two-point conversion rather than a point after. What do you think about this? Do you think that we'll see more two-point conversions? You know, what does this mean for kickers? And I've also heard some rumors that Chip Kelly brought in Tim Tebow as a 2-point conversion specialist, which I find absolutely absurd. But what do you think about all these weird storylines surrounding this change?
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of kickers that are against this rule change.
Are they really?
Yeah, you have a lot of owners that are in support of this change because
a lot of owners
because
yeah.
they think it makes the extra point attempt more exciting. Actually, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how this is going to get implemented.
Yeah, I am too.
The only bad thing about this is because you create two individual yard lines for the line of scrimmage, there's going to be no fakes. You have to know heading into the play whether or not it's going to be a point after or a 2-point conversion.
I wonder what the rules say about doing like a fake. No, that wouldn't work. Like, can they do a drop kick from the 2 yard line?
I don't know. That's a good point. Yeah. What
I was just thinking, like, what happens if they? Yeah. What happens if they try and do a
Doug
fake?
Doug Flutie did one a couple
years
ago.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I don't know why they would, but it's just another wrinkle in the whole scheme of things.
Yep. Oh, I'll tell you what. Here's another thing.
What?
I realized the other day. And it has to do with the fact that the defense can score now.
Okay.
That is a huge game changer. People aren't realizing this. Because now, let's say you score the touchdown. Now you got to worry about, on the point after attempt, you possibly giving points back to the other team.
Right, yeah. How many times have you seen the point after, you know, a 2-point conversion, you know, end in a fumble or an interception and it's just the play's over?
Yeah.
You know?
So for those that don't understand, let me try and give you a scenario here. Let's say it's Broncos versus Eagles and the score is 27-24. I think this works.
Okay.
Broncos have the ball. They're trying to put the game away. They score a touchdown.
Right.
That puts 6 points on the board, right?
Okay.
So then the lead is 9.
Right.
But now you have to think about this. At 9 points, you have a 2-possession lead.
Yes, you do.
If you run the risk of going for the point after touchdown or 2-point conversion, let's say the Eagles fumble the ball. Somebody fumbles the ball. Eagles pick it up. They run it back
for a touchdown.
That's 2 points for the Eagles. Guess what?
Oh, is it 2 points?
Yeah, it's okay. 2 points. Guess what? You're back to a 1-possession game.
But do the Broncos get the ball back then because the Eagles just scored? Or does it go to the Eagles?
No, it goes to the Eagles.
So it's more like a safety then?
Right.
Okay.
Right. The Eagles get the ball back.
Yeah, see, there's a lot of interesting wrinkles to this rule.
Right. I think you're going to see, and I think it's going to happen soon.
Okay.
Like, I think Bill Belichick's thinking about this and Chip Kelly's. You're going to see people that are actually going to not kick the point after touchdown.
They're
going to
go for a 2-point and just fall forward?
Right. Put it into the hands of the guy that doesn't fumble, and you would rather have a safe, conservative 2-point conversion attempt. Or if you're really worried about fumbleitis happening with your team, just kneel it.
So
I think it's going to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know about that. I mean,
think about it. You all of a sudden, a two possession game, a nice
could
safety
suddenly
net.
Swing all the way the other way,
right?
But you would have to be a very conservative coach to do something like that.
I think it could happen, especially when you have some of these masterminds that are going to. I think it's going to happen, especially with like Bill Belichick. I bet you Bill Belichick's going to pull one of those.
Just keep the score the way it is and just ignore the point after.
I mean, this is the guy that took a safety. Remember that?
He did take a safety, yeah.
He willingly took a safety.
He also once went for like a fourth down and 17 on their own 30-yard line. Like, he will do anything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it also lends more weight to the Tim Tebow two-point conversion specialist talk.
It might be, yeah.
I mean, I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous. I would never do that as a head coach, but I'm not Chip Kelly, so.
Yeah, Chip Kelly could do anything.
So, but do you think, I don't know, do you think you might see that? Do you think you might see a rise in two-point conversions then?
Oh, well, yeah, because now there's an incentive now that you only have 2 yards to go for a two-point conversion, but longer kick for a point after.
Yeah. You know what I find interesting about all this is that it's really solving one of the major problems with scoring in football, I think. Not many people really thought of it, but whenever a team scores a touchdown, at least in my mind, you automatically go, okay, 7 points. It's not 7 points. It's 6 points.
Right. Touchdown, 6 points.
Touchdown, 6 points. 99.8% of the time, it's 7 points. And I think that's what the NFL wanted to get away from. They wanted to get away from it being viewed as automatic.
Right.
You know, so now it really hammers home the point. A touchdown is not 7 points. A touchdown is 6 points. You can't always assume that the point after is going to be successful. You know, now maybe we're going to start have to think, you know, touchdowns are, you know, 6 points, and now 2-point conversions become the norm. Maybe the new norm becomes touchdowns are 8 points. I don't know. I just think it's interesting because, you know, after a touchdown is scored, everybody goes away. You go to the bathroom, grab a beer,
grab some
more chips. You're talking to people. You don't care. You know, the kicker comes out there. You don't care. There's no point to it. It's 7 points already.
Unless it's to tie the game or something.
Unless it's to tie the game, yeah. But, you know, most of the time it's like a give me, you know? So I think that's solving one of the major problems with scoring in the NFL. It keeps more people glued to their seats, glued to their TV for longer, which is what the NFL wants. And I think that's a smart way of doing it.
Yep.
The NFL knows how to run their business, let me tell you. One little final interesting point. I want to get your opinion on this. The vote for passing this rule was 30-2. The two teams abstaining or that voted no, Washington and Oakland. Well, two of the worst teams in the NFL. Why would they vote no? Are they that bad?
Well, the Redskins, they don't know if RG3 is going to be able to even stand on his legs when the season comes
around. Well, that too. But are they that bad that they're afraid of moving the point after? 30-2.
And Oakland, I mean, wasn't their last kicker a drunk or something?
Wow, you can't just make accusations like that. Yeah, Oakland, their kicker was a drunk.
Wasn't it Janikowski? Wasn't he the drunk?
I don't know. Was he?
Yeah, like he. Also, like it was like the kicker from The Replacements.
He's like what, this like foreign guy that's just like absolutely hammered every single time.
I think it was. Maybe I'm mixing my kickers up. Or maybe,
you're thinking of The Replacements.
Maybe I'm thinking of The Replacements. Well, you know what, Raiders, Replacements. It's the same team.
Very similar. They have that first letter in common.
You know what? Just hire Keanu Reeves at this point.
Let me tell you, the Oakland Raiders could use some replacements.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Who's their quarterback?
Yeah, exactly.
Carr?
I don't even know. Is it Carr?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Woo.
Yay.
Fun.
But I just thought that was interesting that the only two teams to vote no were Washington and Oakland. Go figure. It would be the two weirdest franchises would vote no.
Right. Not surprising.
All the sensible ones voted yes, but those two. But anyway, so this season, and another thing, this is only for the 2015 season. Most people think it's going to become permanent, but I guess I should point that out. This is technically just for the 2015 season.
Oh,
that's
so
sort of a,
if there
sort
is
of a trial season.
If there is backlash, they can vote to remove it.
Yeah, but with a vote like 30-2.
Yeah, that doesn't sound
What do you think? Enough. Oakland's going to pull a stunner and convince 15 other teams to vote no?
Oakland will rally everyone.
Yeah. Rally behind Oakland for Oakland!
Poor Oakland. They can't do anything.
Oh, but
like, they're the lost puppy dogs of the AFC. Please help
them. The lost puppy dogs.
Please, someone help them.
They don't know what football is. Somebody teach them. Oh, poor little guys. They just want to have fun. It's so condescending.
Yeah, watch the Raiders like win the
They're
Super Bowl.
They're going to win the Super Bowl this year, yeah.
Whoops.
The Eagles are going to make it to the Super Bowl, and we're going to lose to Oakland.
Yeah.
Just back, like, right. What, back in the 1980s,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be a Raiders versus the Eagles rematch, and we'll lose.
At least we'll get to see it firsthand this time.
Yeah.
But there you go. Check, you know, keep an eye out for those rules changes this year when football season starts. So excited.
Yep. So there you go. That's what we have in the sports sampler. A lot of topics to throw at you. A variety, too. We had basketball, baseball, and football.
Yeah,
good job,
Mike. We just didn't talk about hockey or golf. We missed the two most thrilling sports.
We'll save golf because the U.S. Open will be coming up. But anyway, teaser. Thanks, Mike. But another teaser, we still have more show to come. We will have the entertainment entree. The non-fortune cookie odd news and a side dish.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting.
So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Father Sean Thompson was stopped and charged with a DUI as well as a number of misdemeanor drugs and weapons offenses after a trooper observed his pickup truck doing 79 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. Trooper Christopher Bitts observed the 52-year-old's truck was weaving and speeding when Bitts approached the vehicle and asked Thompson for his registration. The priest just handed over a receipt from the bar instead.
That's how you know you're drunk.
Thompson did not tell the officer that he also had a 9mm pistol in his back pocket. He also failed to inform Bitts that he also had a small quantity of marijuana he had stashed in his shirt.
Guns and drugs and booze?
Yeah, the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. Guns, drugs, and booze.
Yeah.
In the name of the gun and of the beer and of the illegal drugs. Our Father, who art with guns, drunken be thy name.
Thy kingdom come when thou is high, on earth as it is in the clouds.
Amen. I would like to go to one of his sermons. He gets to the part with the wine and he just keeps on asking the altar boy for a refill. Like, more! Come here, boy!
We need it for God, alright?
It's for God! I said it's for God, give me another one. And the little, like, 9-year-old's like, sir, I'm gonna have to cut you off.
That's when you know you're an alcoholic.
When the altar boy cuts you off of sacramental wine.
Yeah. Padre, sit down. Sit down the next couple rounds, okay?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports. No more sports. No more football for you, Mike.
Okay.
But coming up next, we've got the entertainment entree and the return of a special segment. So I'm looking forward to our next two batches here, and we'll kick it off with the always entertaining entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Well,
what's not occurring, Gary? I mean, they're fucking everywhere. I see pigeons, they're more like fucking condors, mate. I mean, they're all over the place. They're shitting everywhere. I've got a Bentley GT Continental in the drive. They're shitting all over it. Looks like a fucking igloo. They're just making my life a misery. I mean, the biggest one, you should see the size of it. It's putting a shadow over the house like something out of Independence Day. I'm expecting Jeff Goldblum to pop out of the shed. Couple of them outside on the lawn right now playing swing ball. One of them in the pool with a f***ing peach daiquiri reading Heat magazine. I mean, it's just beyond a joke. It's so stressful. My son, Jimmy's gone missing. Went up on the roof earlier. They f***ing nicked him, raising him as one of their own. I mean, it's just beyond a joke. I don't know why they're hanging around. My wife's probably f***ing one of them. That's what it is. Let's face it. She f***s everything else that moves the hall. But yes, it just really is quite stressful at the moment. Just looking at the bastard now at the side of him. It's like Falcor out of the Neverending Story. Jesus. So yeah, I mean, what sort of course of action would you take for pigeons, Gary?
Shoot them.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I'd like you to get round here with a crack team of boys and shoot the fuck out of them. Little bastard.
So, there you go. That was a prank call by a guy named Tom Emery, I think his name is. He did this prank phone call complaining about pigeons in his apartment, around his apartment, and it went viral over the week.
That was pretty good.
That was all improv, by the way.
That's really good. That's awesome. I'm super jealous.
I like the one line. My wife's probably sleeping with one of them.
She sleeps with everything, yeah.
Yeah, the whore. So if you want to check it out, it's simply called Pigeon Prank Call. That's nice. That's all you have to Google, and you will find...
Who was he calling? Like some type of pest control?
Right.
Nice.
So there you go. If you want to have the full call, it's called Pigeon Prank Call. And hopefully you never have to deal with pigeons like that who are... hovering over Independence Day.
Yeah, that was what I expect. Jeff Goldblum to bust out of the shed.
Yeah.
What did he say? That they're crapping all over his car. It looks like an igloo or something like that. There's some brilliant lines in there.
Yeah. So,
oh, my God.
If you want to check it out, Pigeon Prank Call. All right. And now that we've officially started the entertainment entree, it's time for Mike's weekly segment where we take a look at everything that you need to check out in movies, TV, and video games in the upcoming week. We call it This Week in Entertainment.
You make me very, very mad. You eat the cheeseburger and smoke the crack?
All right, Mike, what do you have to start off This Week in Entertainment?
It's actually funny you play that. Because one of the movies I'm going to be talking about is a gritty drug drama. And I'm sure that didn't slip by your notice.
Nope.
But, so there's two movies coming out this week. They're both on opposite sides of the spectrum. One of them is Heaven Knows What. It's a gritty drug drama. It's based on a true story of a teenage addict and her life in that underbelly of New York. But what makes this really interesting is that a lot of the cast are not actors and actresses. In fact, the woman in the lead role is the person that the story is based on.
Wow.
So they got the actual girl off the street. They met her, the directors met her a while back when she was 19. And so I guess they prepped her for this role. I guess she's clean now or whatever, but now she's acting in this. It's very meta. She's acting in a movie that's based on a book that the directors had her write based on her life story. So it's very, very interesting and different. The other movie on the opposite...
Coming soon, you'll have Rich Liebig, The Untold Story, me playing a caricature of myself featuring Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes, who's playing me.
There you go.
Yeah. The other movie that is coming out this week is Aloha. This one, on the opposite end of the spectrum, is a bright... dramatic rom-com. And the reason why I'm bringing this one up is because it has just an absurdly huge cast of characters. It's got Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Rachel McAdams, Bill Murray, John Krasinski, Danny McBride, and Alec Baldwin. I don't know how they got this many big name actors and actresses into one picture. It's written and directed by Cameron Crowe, who did Jerry Maguire and Almost Famous. So this one has got talent coming out of every single fiber of its being. It's about a celebrated military contractor who returns to the site of his greatest career triumphs, the U.S. space program in Honolulu, Hawaii. And of course, he reconnects with a long lost love, but there's also this unexpected other woman in his life. So, you know, typical rom-com stuff, but, if you're a fan of any of these actors and actresses, I mean, this is a star-studded cast. You might want to go check that out. In the world of TV, we have the second season premiere of Halt and Catch Fire, one of AMC's newer shows, trying to carry on the mantle from Breaking Bad and Mad Men. This one is about the, you know, new computer industry. The first season talked about this tech startup and trying to create the one of the first portable computers. This one, they're going to be dealing with the birth of the internet. So if you have any interest in that, it's a great period piece about the 1980s. You know, they stay very true to the time. I feel like the series has a lot of potential. It's been struggling with the ratings, but I feel like the characters are relatively likable, and the content is just really interesting, especially if you're into the tech stuff. So go check out Halt and Catch Fire, the second season premiere, this week. And finally, in the world of video games, we have Magicka 2 coming out on PlayStation 4 and PC. It's a co-op action game with a very deep magic casting system. What makes this interesting is that it is extra difficult with friendly fire always being on. So it's one of those top-down shooters where you can, you know, shoot in all directions. And so if you have four people going at once, everybody's blasting in different directions. You have to be careful not to kill your own teammates.
Whoops.
Yeah, I have a feeling that you would have some interesting results with that one, Rich.
Well, I shoot and then ask questions later.
Yes, exactly. As all good video gamers do. That wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for this week in entertainment. Now for our second topic here in the entertainment entree, I believe we got another video game topic here. And it is also another throwback topic, speaking of Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah, so this is something that caught my eye. There was recently this huge Kickstarter campaign for a new 3D platformer known as Yooka-Laylee. Those are two words, Yooka and then Laylee, referencing the characters in the game. What is unique about...
That wasn't supposed to play yet.
All right. But what's unique about this is its Kickstarter campaign has surpassed every single stretch goal that they've laid out, with backers, you know, donating as much as $2.64 million with about 19 days still left on their Kickstarter. This game has been getting a huge amount of press. It's by the same developers that made Banjo-Kazooie and Donkey Kong Country back in the N64 era. And what this made me think about is about how the platforming genre is coming back into being with modern consoles. And it's really interesting because the platformer had sort of died in the PlayStation 2, the PlayStation 3 era. But we grew up with the platforming genre as kids, right? With Sonic the Hedgehog and Mario. And I know you are a big fan.
Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo!
Yeah, and you were a big fan of Super Mario 64, right?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite games.
Yeah, so, and this is in the same vein. It's a 3D platformer where you collect a lot of stuff. So what do you think about the 3D platforming genre coming back into prominence with this huge Kickstarter and also with the rise of indie games? A lot of indie games are taking on, you know, those Metroid-style games and also those classic 2D action games. There's a lot of those out there right now. Nearly every PlayStation Plus free game has been a 2D side-scroller platformer. What do you think about this resurgence of the platforming genre, though? Is this something that you're looking forward to, or do you think this genre should be put to rest?
Well, I mean, for the record, a platforming game.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should go over what a platformer is. A platformer, for those not in the video game know, is a game that, you know, takes away a lot of the shooting mechanics of modern games and instead focuses on tricky jumps and almost like an obstacle course. Yeah, puzzles. It's very much about navigating the environment. If you think of Sonic the Hedgehog, get from point A to point B as fast as possible while dodging enemies, making weird acrobatic jumps, and going through a whole bunch of different convoluted obstacles like spikes on the ceiling and running through underwater passages and stuff like that. That's what a platformer is.
Yeah, I think the best way to explain it is to get from point A to point B.
Move up to the next level. Yeah, as fast as you can while avoiding all the crazy obstacles. So, I don't know. How do you feel about the resurgence of this platformer genre?
I think it really works out well for the indie games. The independent games, it'll be cheaper for you to design, easier to program. For independent games, it's a win-win. It makes sense, perfect sense to me. I am a little sad that platforming games have kind of gone away with the PlayStation 3 generation.
They did. I mean, I can't name really any platformer.
PlayStation 3 era and the Xbox 360 era was really more open world.
Yes.
Dramas.
Yes. Open world games, I think that's the best way to put it. You have Assassin's Creed, Red Dead Redemption.
BioShock.
Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, BioShock. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these games are, you know, trying to open up the game world and give you a more in-depth narrative. A lot of first-person and third-person shooters. You see a lot of games going that route. It was a very sad thing to see the platformer fall by the wayside in that generation.
Right. And also, we were experimenting more with graphics.
Right.
And I think between the pushing of how realistic we could get graphics, plus the development of open world gaming, plus the focus more on story content. Yeah. I think that made the conditions more ideal for those first person and third person kind of games.
Yeah,
as opposed to platformers.
Right. Yeah, because platformers have always been a more, not that they're simple, but more classic in a way. You know, you think of Crash Bandicoot and Sonic the Hedgehog and Mario. It's very, you know, streamlined gameplay. Jumping, you know, there's usually one jump button, one attack button. Sometimes there are additional move sets in there. But it was very slimmed down version of gaming, you know, as compared to the open world games and the action games that had all this stuff going on. I mean, you think of something like Assassin's Creed and Grand Theft Auto with just so much content. Like in Assassin's Creed, there was just hundreds and hundreds of little collecting missions and, you know, assassinations. And Grand Theft Auto, you could play whole games of golf in the video game world.
Yes.
And tennis. Yeah. So, you know, these games were almost like meta games that, you know, in certain regards, how they were, you know, games within games, almost like Inception style.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We're moving back to that now?
Yeah, back to Inception. Yeah, but no, that's what Grand Theft Auto was games within games. Driving games, golf games, tennis games. But I have to tell you, I'm excited to see the platformer come back. That's what I grew up with Sonic the Hedgehog and Super Mario and Crash Bandicoot. I'm excited to see games go back to those classic genres. You know, I never really stopped liking platformers. It's just the way games were going it really was a marginalized genre during the PlayStation 3 era.
But hopefully this is where independent video game creators are going to be able to take up the mantle and usher it into the next generation of video games.
Yeah, and that's what this developer is doing. This is a new studio with this huge Kickstarter campaign, $2.64 million. But even the smaller stuff, we went to too many games last year, and we're going back this year, I think. Mm-hmm. All the games that we saw by these indie developers, a lot of them were a lot of these classic 2D side-scrolling action or platforming games. I don't know if you remember, one of my favorites was Treasure Adventure World or Treasure Adventure Island. And that was very much in that style. I have PlayStation Plus, and every month you get a couple free games. And so far, most of them have been those 2D side scrollers by these indie development studios. And I think you're right. It is easier for them to program, but also I think it speaks to what gamers want now. They had their fill of open world games. They're tired of the Call of Duties, which are the on rails shooters. You know, you stick to one straight path and you shoot everything that pops up. And they're tired of the Assassin's Creeds with all those fetch quests. They want to go back to something a little, you know, that seems simple but is deceptively complex and elegant in its execution.
Yep. Speaking of that, if you want to check out some of our articles and videos last year's Too Many Games convention, they are still available on our website.
Yeah,
plug and it, Rich, our YouTube plug channels.
It. Yeah,
yep. Thank you.
Plug it.
You're welcome. But yeah, we're looking forward to this year, which is coming up too.
It is coming up.
That'll be the end of June.
End of June, we'll have a whole bunch of coverage. I guess the end of June and first few weeks of July. So stick around for that. Obviously, you will be. But we'll be sure to cover a couple of classic platformers when we go to Too Many Games this year.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm definitely confident there'll be at least two or three of them at the Too Many Games convention.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Yep.
But anyway, so if you guys want to donate to the Yooka-Laylee Kickstarter, I mean, this game, these developers look like they know what they're doing. The gameplay footage looks amazing. Go check it out. Just search Kickstarter for Yooka-Laylee. It's got about 19, 18 days left, and like I said, they've already blown past all of their stretch goals, so these guys are committed to delivering a great product. Go check that out now.
Now, it's not spelled Yooka-Laylee.
No, it's Yooka-Laylee. It's the name of the two characters, a chameleon and a little bat, which I love because as the chameleon, you can like roll on the ground and the bat like is like Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog, where you can like fly you around.
Right.
So, I mean, they're putting a lot of stuff in this game. They have co-op, they have competitive multiplayer, they have the regular story with a full orchestral score. Hey, go check out their Kickstarter. They are really putting everything they've got behind this. It's got 53,000 backers.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn. Like I said, this is what prompted me to look into this. This Kickstarter has been all over the place. So, go check that out.
There you go. Yooka-Laylee. You can check it out.
Releasing on every major platform, I think, next year.
All right, and with that, we will come to the end of the entertainment entree, but we are bringing back an old segment. Don't get too full, because it's time for a side dish.
Excellent.
Time for a side dish.
Oh, yeah. We love, you know, with every good meal, you have to have a nice little side, you know, maybe some loaded mashed potatoes with it.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to stick with the food
theme. You're making me hungry right now.
I know, right? I could go for some mashed potatoes now.
We're going to have to go get, like, something to eat after the show's over now.
There's a 24-hour diner not too far from my house.
All right.
All right. See you guys later. Goodbye.
Well, not yet. We still got more show to do.
Okay. Well, this side dish is sort of almost like a primer for the Non-Fortunate Cookie Odd News. Every time we do the Odd News, we always talk about how, you know, certain states are extra weird, right?
Usually Florida.
Tennessee's in there.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yo, we're from Tennessee!
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah, exactly. And we always talk about how the people are crazy. But you know what I thought of is that it's not just the people that are crazy. Sometimes it's the actual government of these states that is a little strange.
Yeah. And we have weird charges sometimes.
Yeah, very weird charges. But the point that I'm getting is that there's still a lot of really dumb laws on the books here in the U.S. for certain states. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Like, there's some strange ones, like in Pennsylvania with the whole not being allowed to sell alcohol in certain stores and certain, you know.
Yeah, we separate beer and liquor here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we have state stores. Yeah, it's very, very strange. That's, you know, one weird thing that people scratch their head and like, why do they do that? Only two states in the country, you're not allowed to pump your own gas. New Jersey and I think Oregon. Yeah.
Interesting.
So there's another head scratcher. Like, why? Why is that? Why are those the only two states where you're not allowed to pump your own gas? So anyway, what I did was I dug up an old game that I had in the basement, very dusty game, called Real Dumb Laws. And these are real laws that are still on the books here in certain states in the U.S. And I figured we'd play a little game, you know, because we're both very well-versed in these oddities with all the odd news we do, right?
Oh, yeah. We definitely have some experience with this.
Yeah. So what I figured we'd do is we'll take...
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
I don't know if that is a law anywhere. We'll have to check.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'll have to double check on that. If that's even legal here in Pennsylvania. That fucking sucked. I have to get rid of all my butt guns.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I had so many, too.
You got a collection going.
Yeah, me and my whole gun closet, you know?
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
But anyway, so I figured we play a little game here where we take turns asking each other about these strange laws and see who can get the most right.
All right.
So why
You've
don't...
You got a card in your hand already.
I do have
so
a card in my hand because...
I'm up first.
Yeah, you're up first. I drew the first card and I just think this is amazing. This is very, very odd. So here we go. In Utah, first cousins can marry, but only after a certain age. Is that age 65, 13, 21, or 75?
Oh, my God. Well,
I told you these were going to be weird. These are dumb, real. These are real dumb laws. In Utah, you can marry a first cousin, but only after a particular age.
Well, I hope it's not that young, whatever the youngest one
was. So you think it's not 13?
No, I hope it's not.
I don't know. Utah, they're a little weird out there.
So, and old, that was too old as
far? It was, the options are 65, 13, 21, and 75.
Yeah, the 65 and the 75 one seems...
Too old?
Too old, yeah, because at that point, why get married? Just have some fun.
good point. There you go. Yeah. Rich is promoting having fun with your first cousins. Why not?
So I'm going to go with 21.
21. So you think in Utah you can marry a first cousin after 21?
I guess, yeah. I'm going to go with 21.
You are wrong. It's 65.
Really?
60? Yeah.
Why do you have to wait till 65?
Senior citizen discount? I don't know.
Oh, yes. Those senior citizen discount on condoms. Oh, yeah. What a deal.
Buy the family pack.
Yes.
So, yeah, there you go. That is a real law. In Utah, folks, you can marry your first cousin as long as you're over 65.
All right. Well, there you go.
So, Rich, do you...
All the elderly people with families all of a sudden moving to Utah.
Oh, no. Come on, cuz. It's like the Godfather 3. Come on, cuz. We got to go to Utah.
Godfather Part 3.
Yeah, we try and forget about that one.
Yeah.
So, Rich, here's the stack. Do you want to draw one and test me now?
All right. It's my turn.
Yes.
To ask you a question.
Okay.
In Alabama, all right, this sounds good.
Oh, God.
In Alabama, it is a felony for you to do this in order to make people feel sorry for you and give you money. What is it? A, beg. B, make believe that you don't understand English.
Okay.
C, cut off your arm.
Wow, that's drastic. Yeah,
this escalated really quick. Or D, say that your pet ran away.
Okay. Well, I feel like beg is too obvious, so I'm eliminating that. There are beggars everywhere, really. I'm going to say, what was it? There was one, cut off your arm, and was the other one? Pretend you don't speak English?
Yeah, make believe you don't understand English.
I'm going to go with...
And the other one was say that your pet ran away.
I think I'm going to go with the make believe you can't speak English.
You're going to go with that one?
Yeah.
Have you been listening too much to my Spanish clips?
I guess. I don't know. Why?
Actually, that was not the answer.
What was the answer then?
It cut off your arm. Specifically. And it's a felony.
It's a felony?
Yes.
Wow.
So if you cut off your own arm and then ask for money... You're going straight to jail for a felony.
Well, you know what, though,
in Alabama.
You know what, though? It doesn't make any sense because you cut off your arm and whatever money you earn goes straight to medical bills. So it sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's Alabama.
It's Alabama. Go figure, yeah.
Yes.
Crazy Alabama. So you're not allowed to cut off your arm in Alabama.
Nope.
It's specifically to make people feel bad for you for money.
Right.
So can you cut off your arm
And but then you have to be financially well off to cut off your arm.
These are really odd, strange laws. Okay. Wow. This is a good one. All right. So dogs may not blank cars in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. Dogs may not sniff, bark or growl at, molest, or be transported in. So what can dogs not do to cars? Sniff, bark or growl, molest, or be transported in. This is Kentucky.
As a clarifier.
Yeah, as a clarifier. This is Kentucky. Keep that in mind, folks. I mean, the big question is, how do you stop dogs from sniffing and barking? So that must be either molesting the cars or being transported in them.
Well, being transported in them, that sounds too obvious. I don't want to, molesting, that seems
dogs may not
there.
Molest cars. I don't know.
I'll go with molest, yeah.
You're going to go with molest?
Yeah. What do you got?
You are correct. Dogs may not molest cars.
Yeah,
Fort Thomas, Kentucky.
Those horny dogs.
So, what do they mean by molest cars?
Like hump it?
Like hump it? Like, yeah. Do dogs do that? Hump cars?
Why not? They can hump anything.
But it's a car.
I don't know.
I mean, I know they hump, like, you know, people's legs and stuff.
People hump cars.
People hump it? Yeah. All right then, Rich. People hump cars.
Look, here's a little bit of background info.
Uh-oh.
I see all of the odd news, all right? I have multiple odd news feeds. Spoiler alert, I've had stories that came in that were like, guys hump a Toyota.
And you've never brought that to the table?
I just thought that was just more just nasty.
More nasty than, well, we've had some other nasty ones. People stuffing things in places where they shouldn't be.
I don't know, that makes me laugh.
You know
more.
What? You know what? People stuffing things where they shouldn't be. That also applies to people humping cars.
Yes. So there you go.
It doesn't go in the tailpipe. What'd you say?
Circle of life.
Circle of life. It's the circle of life. I feel like we did this gag before.
The circle of Toyota.
Stick it in, they're good. It feels so metallic.
All right.
What do you think that would? Is that the Toyota's O face?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Woo! Oh wow.
Oh yeah, you Toyota.
Oh yeah, Toyota.
Ford. Oh yeah.
You Ford. Sounds like a dirty word. You Ford. Oh.
Ooh, yeah. You've been bad lately, haven't you?
Oh, all right. Let's do another one.
All right. Yes, let's get off car sex.
Yeah.
What? Another? Why do I keep drawing Alabama?
Is this another Alabama one?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Alabama's really the odd news state.
Yeah, and all the people just flocked to Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, oh, God, there's too many laws here in Alabama.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got another Alabama question. In Alabama, which of these games may you not be allowed to play on Sunday?
Okay. This is oddly specific.
Yeah. Simon Says.
Okay.
Old Maid, Dominoes, or Checkers?
This is so weird.
It's actually a law in Alabama. You're not supposed to play one of these games on Sunday.
Oh my gosh. How can I even put any logic to this? Checkers, Old Maid. I'm trying to think if any of them could be considered, like, offensive. Were they Simon Says?
Well, you don't want to know what Old Maid's up to.
Oh, yeah, that Old Maid. She's fording her Kia.
She actually put the Kia.
Her and the dog, man. They just won't leave that damn Ford alone. Well, I got to go with Old Maid now. Is it Old Maid? You can't get the image out of your head now.
Right.
Of a dog and an Old Maid double teaming a Ford.
That's what they do for fun in Alabama.
Yeah, but not on Sundays.
But not on Sunday. No, actually, the answer was Dominoes.
Dominoes?
Yeah.
Maybe they consider it a form of gambling?
I don't know. All those numbers.
They don't like numbers in Alabama.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's my
wow.
Logic.
Okay. This is another really Another Alabama one. What the hell's going on?
Actually, this game is called What Laws Exist in Alabama?
Honest to God, folks, I took this game out of my basement. It has only been played once, okay? And
you know what it was? Bruno, our assistant producer, actually organized the cards by state.
All the, yeah, all the Alabama cards together.
Yeah.
Okay, so in Alabama, these types of establishments aren't allowed to be open between 11:30 p.m. and 6 a.m. Hospitals, pool halls, pizza parlors, or auto repair shops.
Ooh. All right, well, it's not hospitals. You need to be open.
Yeah, you need to be open. Hospitals need to be open. So you're eliminating that one right off the bat, right?
Yeah. What are the other ones?
Pool halls, pizza parlors, and auto repair shops.
All right, well, pizza parlors, people need their pizza.
Yeah, they got to be open. Late night pizza.
So it's either pool hall or what was the other one?
Auto repair shops.
Auto repair shop. I will. You know what? Pool hall. Why not? You could have some late night fun. But an auto repair shop. You know what? You should be done your work by the end of 6 o'clock.
Well, it's 11:30 p.m.
11:30
to 6 a.m. Why are you taking your car to a place at 11:30 p.m.?
Right. I'm going to go with auto repair shop.
Actually, it's pool halls.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, you guys not fan of Pool Hall Junkies?
I guess
the
not.
The great Christopher Walken movie?
you would pick a Christopher Walken movie, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's great.
I'm
going to win the tournament. You see?
And then I'm going to have sex with a car. I'm just going to keep going back to that car
very
one.
Very calm about it.
Oh, yeah. Ford, do me. Oh. Oh.
Oh, my God.
All right, we got to get off the car subject. Is it another Alabama?
Yeah, you need
Are these all Alabama? Hold on.
You need to shuffle these. These are all Alabama.
Are they really? No, they're not.
So far, I've gotten three Alabama, and you got one, too.
All right, hold on, wait. I think these are in alphabetical order.
See?
So, God, you asked me that question while I shuffle these cards. Because there are like four other Alabama
yeah,
cards.
Yeah, you know what? This game is now Weird Laws in Alabama. Weird Laws in Alabama.
Is that the theme song? Yeah, this sure. is a new segment, Weird Laws in Alabama. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any music. I don't know what would be appropriate Alabama music specifically.
I didn't realize you needed specific music for each state.
I didn't realize it either.
Until you came to the situation.
Yes. I've been through a lot in my podcasting career, but never thought I would need state-specific music.
All right. So what do you have? Is that another Alabama one?
Yeah, so this one's another.
Do you want to take another one, or do you want to go with that one?
I don't know. Do you want me to take another one?
Yeah, you can take another one if you want.
I think we need to start.
There you go.
Poor Alabama. We're making fun of them.
I know. Watch this one be Alabama, too, after I shuffled it.
No, but it's not Alabama.
Oh, no.
But guess what? It's our old friends in Florida.
Oh, my God.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep.
Okay, so what happened in Florida? I don't say that out of the odd news ever.
In Satellite Beach, Florida, persons may not be seen in public clothed in what? Sorry, I didn't read the verb there.
Oh, okay.
Persons may not be seen in public clothed in what? A, plastic. B, polyester. C, duct tape. D, latex.
Well, I feel like in Florida, they're probably using duct tape to build a lot of redneck contraptions.
Okay.
So I feel like maybe duct tape would be okay. What were the other ones? Plastic and polyester?
And latex.
And latex. Hmm. Well, they're kind of kinky in Florida, so maybe latex would be okay.
All right.
I think plastic. I think it would probably be illegal to be dressed in plastic out in public.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
On the books in Satellite Beach, it is actually liquid latex.
Ah, liquid latex.
Yeah, apparently they're not getting as freaky as we thought they were.
Oh.
Which I'm disappointed at, but
poor Florida.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
All right, what do you got?
Okay. This is very strange. This is really oddly specific. Children attending Nickajack Elementary School in Cobb County, Georgia, are not allowed to pack this in their lunch. Round fruits, pudding packs, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or caffeinated drinks.
Well, first off, I really hope it's not put in packs, or else Cosby's going to be upset.
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip zop zoom in the bop.
I'm going to say, was it caffeinated drinks or something?
Caffeinated drinks, round fruits, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I'm going to go caffeinated drinks.
Caffeinated drinks? You're actually wrong. It's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Mm. That's like a main staple of elementary school lunches. This is Nickajack. First off, that is a crazy name. Nickajack Elementary School in Cobb County, Georgia.
Right next to Frickafrack.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are their rivals across town. Yeah.
Damn Frickafrackers.
Frickafracks. So, yeah, peanut butter and jelly. Gosh.
All right, ready for this one?
Yeah.
Utah.
Okay, good old Utah.
In Salt Lake County, Utah, it is illegal to promote an auction using this. A, newspaper ads. B, musical instruments. C, direct mailers. D, good-looking auctioneers.
Okay. Well, I feel like newspaper ads, they should be allowed to do that.
All right.
Direct mail?
Yeah.
And that sounds too legit. You know, I feel
too legit to quit.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably something that's allowed. What were the other two? Musical instruments?
Yep.
And good-looking auctioneers?
Yep.
I feel like good-looking auctioneers is a little too subjective and vague. Like, what's good-looking to who, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I think it's musical instruments.
You are correct.
Wow. There you go. I logiced that one to death.
You actually used logic.
Yeah. It's something that we rarely have we're talking about odd things, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. It is illegal to do what on any street in Dublin, Georgia? Learn to drive, post election signs, play catch, or sell lemonade.
It's
illegal to do this on any city street in Dublin, Georgia. Learn to drive, post election signs, play catch, or sell lemonade.
All right, well, it can't be play catch. I don't know.
They're all very, like, innocent
sounding
actions, activities.
You know, I'm going to say learning how to drive a car?
Learn to drive.
I could see that being a law because you don't want...
How do they teach anyone to drive then?
In like a parking lot.
So everyone in that city has to learn to drive in parking lots?
I don't know, maybe. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
That's my logic.
It's actually play catch.
What?
Yeah, you're not allowed to play catch on any city street in Dublin, Georgia.
Well, then where are the kids going to play catch?
Backyards, maybe?
Yeah, but the ball
in those parking lots where they're learning how to drive?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Everything takes place in parking lots in Dublin, Georgia.
Why not?
Wild car sex, playing catch, learning how to drive.
Yeah, you train with your car and then you have some fun with it.
Oh, car, that right turn was... It really turned me on.
It was really exquisite.
Yeah, oh. The way your blinkers, those headlights, look at those high beams.
All right, another one for you. California.
We
should get
California.
Too many in California.
Yeah.
It is illegal to drive a blank down the street in Chico, California. A carpeted station wagon.
Carpeted? Okay.
That's where you have some fun.
Yeah, also, this tells you this law was probably written in the 1960s and 70s, right? Shag carpet in your station wagon.
B, bicycle.
Okay.
C, cattle. Or D, scooter.
I mean, it's got to be cattle, right? That's the weirdest one on the list.
That is correct.
Okay. How can it be anything but cattle, right?
You never know.
So you're not allowed to drive cattle down the street?
Yep.
You have to think, like, when was this law created that they had to outlaw cattle? Why were so many people driving cattle that they had to make a law?
It was getting too busy.
It was getting too busy with
all the cattle.
Too much mooing.
And then people were
noise pollution.
Confused. They didn't know if they were coming to be lunch or if they were coming to get food for the cattle.
What? I have no idea what you just said.
It's okay.
Move on.
Okay.
Move on.
In Frederick, Virginia. Okay. I don't think we've ever been to Virginia. In Frederick, Virginia, a person may be fined up to $2,500 for not doing this after swimming. So they have to do this after swimming or else they get fined $2,500.
Okay.
Showering, changing clothes, closing their gate, or deflating their floats?
I'd say showering. That sounds like public health.
Showering? So you're going to say people can be fined up to $2,500 for not showering
after
swimming? It's actually closing the gate.
Oh, I guess for if you have a personal pool, you don't want kids running in.
Yeah, I just think that's weird. How do you police something like that?
The kid drowns.
It's like, well, there's the evidence right
there.
Right.
Yeah, there's the evidence.
Little
right
Billy
there.
Drowned.
You left the damn door open, didn't you, Mr.
What happens
Johnson?
If Billy? What happens if Billy opened the gate himself?
Then you have to get a bigger lock or a better lock.
What happens if you don't
get a laser lock?
What happens? What?
Get the one they use for safes.
Like a big, like,
yeah.
What are they? The I'm making a hand motion.
The padlock.
Padlock. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like playing with this imaginary thing in midair. No, I was going to say, what loophole? What happens if they open the gate but don't go swimming? What happens if they just lounge by the pool?
They're not in the right
state. What? They're not in the right state.
Yep.
Okay. So they still get fined or no?
Yes, still fine them.
Still fine them? Okay.
How dare you?
The gate must be closed at all times.
Yes. What? Another California one.
Now we're going to call the California ones.
Yeah. Actually, this will be the last one.
Yeah.
In California, it is illegal to plant a garden in a blank. A, public street. B, public phone booth. C, public park. Or D, public bathtub.
What? What? A public bathroom?
Yeah, what the hell?
Is that next? Is that next to the restrooms?
Is that next to the parking lot with the with the cars and the and the,
is that like,
the guys playing catch and
public bathtub?
What the hell?
What's a public bathtub? This is so weird. That actually sounds kind of kinky too.
Well, that's what happens after you're done with your Ford.
You know, you gotta get a bath.
Yeah.
Ooh, all that oil.
Got a lot of motor oil on you, yeah. You gotta clean up afterwards.
Yeah.
I feel like planting a garden, what was it, planting a garden?
Yeah.
Should be illegal in all of these things. Who's gonna plant a garden in a public phone booth? Or the public street? A public bathtub? That sounds really illegal. And what was the other one?
Public park.
Public park. I feel like it should be all of them, but I can only pick one, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say the park because the other ones, I feel like the city wouldn't care that much about their public phone booths or bathtubs.
Nope. The answer was public street.
Public street.
So you can't just walk into the middle of the street, drop a plant.
Drop a plant. Just tear up the asphalt.
Look, flower.
If the city officials let someone get that far with their planting in the middle of the street, then they have other issues besides people planting in the street.
Make it like a little dinky flower, too. Like not even like a tree or something.
Like a tree? One day there's just a tree in the middle of Main Street. Like, huh, how'd that get there?
Someone is really good at uplifting a root.
Yeah. Cars like swerving around it slowly. Oh boy!
So there you go.
So there you go. That I don't know. I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I think that went real well, except for the whole picking Alabama eight times in a row.
The Alabama snafu was kind of it was still funny though.
You know, how come our assistant producer listens to the requests that are jokes and he actually does those, and then the ones we actually need he doesn't do those?
I don't know.
Damn it! We need to get a better team of associate producers.
We only have the one.
We'll have to expand to two. Coming soon.
Coming soon. More associate producers.
Right.
There will be no change in the show whatsoever. but I don't know. We might have to revisit this at some time.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
I think it went over pretty good. But that'll do it for this part of the show. We'll take a little bit of a break. But then coming up, we will have the non-fortune cookie odd news. I got a couple of good stories and a couple of audio clips.
Ooh, I love audio in the odd news.
Yep, so don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California man is accused of assaulting a woman while wearing a pink Barbie costume.
Of course.
The victim was using the restroom when the suspect entered her stall dressed like Barbie. I was looking and I saw 2 feet slowly planted on the floor and they were a man's bare feet. She noted that the suspect was wearing a Barbie outfit. Luckily, the victim fought back and managed to escape. Schwartz ran out soon after, and when a security guard tried to confront him, Schwartz allegedly threatened to stab him with a screwdriver.
That's very Barbie-like of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always have a Barbie for, like, every single job.
Yeah, there you go. Criminal assault Barbie.
Criminal assault Barbie.
In a criminal world, solving people in the bathroom.
I have a screwdriver. I'm gonna stab you in the eye.
Get out of my way. Need to make an escape.
Come on, Barbie. Let's do crime. This is criminal assault Barbie.
Yeah,
she comes with a removable screwdriver, but no shoes apparently.
No.
Doesn't know how to accessorize, I guess.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, recording late at night to make sure that you get the episodes ready to go on Thursday.
That's right.
And you are informed and entertained.
Yes, a healthy dose of infotainment.
That's right. Before we get into the non-fortune cookie odd news, I have just one more news bulletin, and it's going to make you feel a little bit old, Mike.
Okay.
it's making me feel a little bit old.
Okay, what do you got?
But one of our favorite sound clips turns 10 years old.
Wow, what sound clip?
Leroy Jenkins!
Wow.
Yep.
10 years.
Leroy Jenkins, the famous clip of a video gamer who just wasn't paying attention and decided to play by his own rules. That clip is 10 years old.
Wow.
Happened in 2005.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Leroy Jenkins!
I love that clip.
Yeah. Just the ultimate sign of, I'm just going to half-ass it and I'm going in.
Yeah, because the guy wasn't paying attention. They were, like, coming up with a plan.
Yeah,
to,
right.
Like, go into like a
they were playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah. They were doing a dungeon or a raid or something.
Yeah.
They were making a plan.
Apparently you were supposed to have like strategy and
cuz it's, you know, a tough fight coming up or something. And this guy Leroy was just not paying attention at all. And then randomly he's like, "All right, let's do this." And then
Leroy Jenkins!
The infamous battle cry.
Yep, and he storms in and gets himself killed and everybody else with him.
But, I don't know. Sometimes you just gotta do it.
You just gotta do it,
yeah. Yep.
Like Nike, just do it.
Right.
Leroy Jenkins!
So, that clip, now 10 years old. I can't believe that.
Yikes. We're getting old, Rich.
Yeah. Ugh.
Ugh.
Well, I'll tell you, how about we get to something that doesn't get old?
Yeah, something to keep us young.
That's right. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Hobbits are horny. Horny as hobbits. It goes together. It should be a song. I am a horny hobbit. Who dat? Who dat? Oh, I have my horny and my horny hobbit goes. I have my than doubt. I have things in clouds. I have a horny hobbit and horny hobbit goes. See what I mean? That is a hit.
Yep. There you
that
go.
That is a hit.
Put a hobbit next to a car. Woo!
Oh, you, boy.
Yeah,
you don't want to know what happens there.
Yeah, some fireworks on that one.
Anyway, here in the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich plays horn noises. That's all it is. It's a segment for like 45 minutes of just random car horns. That's what,
just for you.
Oh, I love it. I also like the one, what is it? Potatoes. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. You know that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. But,
all right. Explain the
audience. Yeah, sorry. I'm thinking about Lord of the Rings and how awesome it is. For someone that doesn't like Lord of the Rings, you got quite a few Lord of the Rings clips there.
I mean, it's pop culture. I have to at least recognize it.
What do you? Oh my gosh! What? It's mandatory that you have to recognize.
Yeah.
God, you hate it so much. But here's something we both love. We both love the odd news, and here in the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I've never heard these stories before in my life. He keeps them hidden from me, so all my reactions are my gut reactions, my initial reactions. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because sometimes these stories take us on wacky and wild paths. So, Rich, what do you got for us?
All right. Well, our first story is a local story.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
How local?
Pretty local, actually. Levittown.
Okay. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So what's happening?
So this could have been us.
Maybe it was us. No.
A Pennsylvania's teen's family said that her sweet 16 party was going good until it was spoiled and soiled when an apparent airplane bathroom waste tank fell right on the girl's birthday party.
Oh, that's just nasty.
Joe Cambry of Levittown said that there were 40 people at his house for a party for his stepdaughter, Jacinda. And during the party, an apparent human waste container fell from the sky while some of the guests were in a pool playing horseshoes and eating in a barbecue style.
Why is the article written that way? While some people were playing in the pool and eating in a barbecue style? What does that mean?
Very official.
Very official, yeah.
Yes.
They weren't just eating, but in a barbecue style.
Yes. Barbecue style!
But yeah.
That sounds like a rap remix or something. Barbecue style!
It's like Gangnam style, except with more food.
Open Gangnam style!
Yeah, yeah, it could be. Wait. Barbecue style! Barbecue style! Barbecue style! Nom 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 ribs!
What'd you say? Om nom 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 what?
Ribs.
Ribs?
Yeah. Barbecue style.
Barbecue style, there you go.
My new theme song.
Yeah. Cy had Gangnam style, Rich has barbecue style.
Yep.
You love barbecue sauce, though.
I do. I love barbecue
sauce. That's something that maybe people don't know, is that you love barbecue sauce
on
lots of stuff.
I love barbecue sauce.
When we go get burgers, Rich always gets barbecue sauce to go with it.
Yep. I think that's going to be my theme song for summer 2015.
Oppa Gangnam style.
Yeah. Here we go. Everyone. Barbecue style. From barbecue style. Yum, 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 ribs. From barbecue style. Yum, yum, ribs. There you go.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
That should be your song.
There you go. Summer 2015.
Barbecue style.
Barbecue style.
That's awesome. I don't even care about the story. I'm more interested in barbecue style.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about poop.
Well, barbecue sauce, poop, they're both kind of brown. Oh, that's gross. But I think it's hilarious that all this crap fell on them from the sky. It's basically like God taking a dump on them. God's just like, I see your birthday party.
Joe Cambry.
The second coming. What, number one? I just gotta go number. I'm going straight to hell.
Joe Cambry says that out of nowhere, from the sky, came a bunch of feces and landed on us.
Did he say that, though?
Yes.
A bunch of feces?
A bunch of feces, yeah.
Okay.
Like, what? Bunch of feces.
A bunch of feces.
What is this, Michael Jackson speaking? Do you remember that creepy interview he did?
No, what are you talking about? What does Michael Jackson have to do with feces?
Michael Jackson had this really creepy interview before he died. Yeah, and he said something about when he was arrested first on the child abuse charges. He was like, it was horrible. I was in a jail and there were doo-doo feces on the wall. And it was like,
ew.
Oh.
Did he really say that?
Like, can't you just say poop?
There were doo-doo feces?
Doo-doo, like, what are you? He had the mind of a child. He really did.
Yeah.
Doo-doo feces. I was like, what? Really?
That's weird.
You're like 49.
Is that how old he was?
Yeah. He died at 50, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think you can say poop.
Yeah. Or crap.
Or if you're not being broadcasted, the S word.
The S word, yes.
Oh, that always works.
Glorious S word.
Yeah, that we can't say on a
family-friendly
podcast.
Lots of amazing words we can't say.
Damn it.
No, we can say that one.
Yeah, we can say that one.
Damn hell, bitch, bastard.
Anyway, we keep getting off track on this story. Cambry said that the tent that he erected in the yard was the, quote, epicenter of the fecal impact.
The fecal impact. It makes it just sound like a bomb was dropped on his house.
Yeah. Sounds like a news report of, like, a battlefield or something, God. You know?
Breaking news here tonight. There are reports of fecal matter bombarding a local town. We go live to the scene with our reporter on the scene, Rich Liebig. What can you tell us about the fecal epicenter?
Hi, Tom. I'm here at the epicenter of the fecal impact. A family was having barbecue-style picnic for the Sweet 16 girl. Her name's not mentioned here.
Excellent reporting in the field.
No, I guess 16 minor.
Anyways, I guess so.
We're here, right at the scene.
Did any of the fecal matter get on the food?
I have bad news.
No. Are you serious?
The fecal impact.
The fecal impact, yeah.
Hit a couple minutes after they cut the cake.
Oh, no. Was the chocolate cake?
The cake was ruined.
Nobody can tell.
Chocolate,
just
yeah.
Close your eyes.
Cambry's sister, Christy, says that, quote, it was bad. It was brown. It was everywhere. It got on everything.
It was bad. It was brown. It was everywhere. Sounds like a really bad B action movie. Why did this music come back?
What's the report? It was brown. It was everywhere. It got on everything.
This just in, it was big. It was brown. It was everywhere. I repeat, everywhere. Oh, man.
The Federal Aviation Administration is investigating the incident.
You can't just dump your crap wherever you want to.
Yep. And
let me ask a question. When an airplane loses its crap tank, what do people do when they go to the bathroom? Does it just, like, fly out of the airplane?
Yeah, it just
sprays. Instead of a jet stream, you see this brown cloud. Like, what is that? Why is this rain brown? Oh, God.
So instead of a rainbow, it's a brown bow.
Oh, just this glorious streak of brown and green.
Yeah.
Oh.
But in all seriousness, I feel sorry for this girl, man. Sweet 16 party ruined.
That does suck.
And this was relatively local, Levittown. This could have been
us. We could have been hit by the fecal impact.
Yeah, we could have felt the fecal impact.
As long as there's no aftershocks. It almost sounds like an earthquake, like fecal impact.
Yeah.
The epicenter.
It sounds like a movie. Fecal impact.
Fecal impact.
Coming soon.
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
What happens when a poop container loses control and explodes in Levittown, Pennsylvania?
starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Christopher Walken. Fecal Impact. Summer 2015. Rated PG-13.
There you go. So, coming soon.
Oh.
All right, ready for our next story here?
I don't know how you can follow up with such a great opening story like Fecal Impact.
I'll try to.
Fecal Impact birthday.
I'll try to.
All right, what do you got?
All right, this one is just weird. A Colorado man who was accused of violating a protection order decided that when he needed to go to court, that he, quote, needed to bring his stuffed owl with him into the courtroom as his public defender. Sure, why not?
Is this like for real? Like,
yes,
he's demanding this.
Yes, I need to bring my stuffed owl as my public defender. He's very intelligent.
Well, they say you have a right to an attorney. They don't say what type of attorney.
Right. This is Dr. Owl.
Dr. Owl,
Esquire at Law.
Dr. Owl, Esquire.
Yes, perfect. Sounds reasonable.
Woo-hoo. Woo. The court case is like really intense because he's like questioning the witness. And like, who? I told you who. Who? I told you.
Oh, mistrial.
Mistrial, yeah.
There you go. He's actually smart.
Yeah.
We all didn't realize this.
It's a genius play. It really is.
Guess where this took place, just on a pop culture mindset.
I don't know. Where?
Someplace warm. A place where the beer flows like wine. Where beautiful women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. I'm talking about a little place called Aspen.
Aspen, Colorado?
Yeah, this is the first, I believe this is the first time we've ever had a news story specifically from Aspen.
Wow.
I'm talking about a little place called Aspen.
It's pretty well to do there, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, well, let's go over some more details in this incredible court case.
Yeah, I want to find out how the owl attorney handled everything.
Charles Abbott of Aspen, Colorado, who's accused of violating a protection order taken out by his former roommate, Michael Stranahan, placed the stuffed owl on the table in front of him during his court appearance. He then noted that this stuffed owl has, quote, law degrees from Yale, Harvard, and Stanford.
Wow.
Woo!
There you go.
What a resume.
The guy, you know, he said it, so it must be true.
He then continued, I want him to represent me before a public defender can be available.
Oh my God.
Yep. The details of the case was that Abbott had allegedly violated a protection order by going to Stranahan's home to retrieve his belongings. Stranahan, who said that he was out of town when Abbott went to his home, accused Abbott of taking some of his property. Stranahan ignored the owl, which Abbott continually decided to call Solomon.
Okay. I love how it has a name and everything.
Yep. And asked Stranahan if he would be willing to amend the protection order to allow for mediation. During the time for the request of mediation, he also wanted the owl to stay on the table. Quote, I want it to remain in place because I don't personally feel safe about being in close proximity with Mr. Stranahan. So,
oh,
there you go.
Gosh.
The most epic court case in Aspen.
I want to see that episode of Law and Order is what I want.
Yeah.
The owl trying the case. That would be awesome. Oh, man. So did the judge allow him to have the owl?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just like... Yeah. I just can't
sir,
believe...
Sir, I need the owl right here.
The owl has to stay.
So, there you go.
So, I'm just interested in the logistics of this. So, he was basically representing himself then.
Yes. But
with the owl.
The owl is important, man.
I want to know if he, like, talked with the owl. You know how, like, the defendant leans over and, like, whispers, like, my attorney has told me to not, you know, I don't know what the attorney would tell the defendant to do. I've never been a defendant in a court case.
Hopefully we never will. How about we get to our traditional Florida odd news stories?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, let's start off right.
All right, what do we got in Florida?
Because, you know, why not here? Florida's first responders had to rescue a naked man from the top of a Fort Lauderdale drawbridge on Friday.
Oh, my God.
After he got stuck when the bridge was raised and he was walking across it.
So, I love how the oddest thing in this story is the fact that he got stuck on top of the drawbridge, not the fact that he was walking across it naked.
Yeah, right.
So he was walking across the bridge and he got stuck where it splits and it raises up and he got stuck up there?
Yep.
Well, why did they just bring the bridge down?
Police said that he was swimming in the water. He then jumped out of the water.
Why not?
Okay. That explains why he's naked, I guess.
He was swimming in the water, then he jumped out of the water, and then went to cross the bridge. The bridge was coming up.
Why didn't
he
just swim across whatever body of water he was in?
Because that would make sense.
Where did he leave his clothes? On the other side?
The bridge was coming up before he could get across the bridge. Fort Lauderdale firefighters tried to reach the man with ladders, but the ladders weren't quite tall enough. So instead, they had to have the sheriff's office scale the structure, wrap the man in a towel, secure him to a harness fixed to the structure, and then could lower him safely back down.
Really? What type of bridge was this that they couldn't just lower it a little bit?
I guess it's one of the ones that breaks in the middle.
Yeah, but all right, so think of it. If you visualize it going up and he's like clinging onto the edge, why don't they just bring it back down?
Because he probably hopped to the other edge of it. Okay. Like, you're not dangling. He's not dangling off of the one thing. He probably, like, got onto the edge.
So he's standing on the edge is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you lower it, that doesn't help him.
He'll wobble and he'll fall, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to visualize. Why did he? Oh, man. I don't know. Why? This person's so stupid. Florida, yeah.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
He was rescued safe and sound, so.
Yeah, he could have looked in the water and been like, are there any giant boats coming down? Maybe I should wait for it to pass. No, I'm definitely faster. I can make it. What a moron. Maybe that's why he got out of the water. He was dodging the giant boat. Why would he try and cross the bridge? What was this guy thinking?
Why didn't he swim to the other bank?
Yeah, really? Where were his clothes? Did he go to the river naked?
You know, it is Florida.
It is Florida, yeah. You
know, anything goes down.
It's very hot down there, you know.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Okay, whatever, right. Florida.
Ready for another Florida story?
Sure.
A Florida judge may throw the book at twin brothers who are accused of throwing bricks at each other. And they're not, like, young, like, you know, young stupid guys. These are 52-year-old men.
52-year-old men?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Michael and James Remulus, both 52 years old, were arrested Tuesday night after the two started arguing with each other in the front yard of their home.
They just had stacks of bricks waiting to go.
The argument got heated when Michael threatened to throw a brick at his brother, causing James to grab a brick in response. Let's think about this. Think about this. Where the hell are they getting all these bricks?
There's just pallets of bricks in their front yard.
Yeah. What is this, a Home Depot?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what's really funny about this? Is that this is me and my brother in our 50s.
Yes. You're going to be throwing bricks at each other.
When we were younger, we used to throw bricks at each other.
No, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker, old style.
We literally used to throw bricks at each other when we were younger. We used to have what we would call rock wars because we live on an alley. And before it was paved, there were rocks. The alley was filled with rocks. We used to pick up handfuls of rocks and throw them at each other.
All right. Well, first off.
We did that all through grade school.
Even though that is dumb. I can understand rocks. Because yeah. They're like, they can be lying on the ground commonplace.
Right.
But bricks? Where are all these bricks coming from?
Well, we had half-broken bricks, and we would throw those, too. I'm telling you, I think this is me and JB in the future.
No, I'm gonna fucking kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Look, Michael and James.
Yeah, you're.
It's very, very similar. Where does this story take place?
Florida.
Oh, I guess I moved to Florida eventually.
Good luck.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Michael.
But, yeah, I want to know, does it mention where they got the bricks from, though?
Michael.
Had them ready to go.
Yeah, I know. Just
it's like
right
in a
front yard.
It's like in a holster on his belt.
Just right in the front yard. Michael threw the first brick, causing a small cut on his brother's leg. James countered and struck Michael right in the right eye.
Ow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Both brothers were charged with aggravated battery and were taken to the local jail. The twins are not alike as far as their record. James has only been arrested twice since 2010, but Michael has been taken into custody 20 times since 2005, so he will face
they're
more
both
punishment.
Criminals, though. I love how it's like they're nothing alike. One was only arrested twice in 5 years. That's two times too many. Try zero times.
It's Florida.
Yeah.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
So what are you insinuating? Everyone in Florida has a record?
Probably.
Probably. The entire state's been arrested at least once.
Look at all the odd news stories I've collected from Florida.
That's true. That is true.
Right. Everybody in Florida has a record at this point.
You're probably not far off, honestly.
Yeah. So,
there you go, Mike. That might be you in...
I think it is. I think that's me and JB in the future.
25 years.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, this one, we're going to Russia. We haven't had a good Russian story.
Oh, man, I'm so happy for Russia. We haven't had a Russia story in forever. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
One of the last ones I can remember is where the guy... gets his girlfriend, and they stuck her head in the banister.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just left her there. Like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Goodbye.
Well, this one is also involves a woman.
Uh-oh. And another banister.
No.
Okay.
But authorities said that a Russian woman accidentally shot herself in the head.
Oh, my God.
Because she was taking a selfie.
First, let me take a selfie.
What was she doing? What? How do you confuse a gun and a camera phone?
Well,
one of these is a camera. One of these is a lethal weapon. Oh, I get it. Was she pretending to shoot herself in the head in the selfie and then accidentally shot herself? That makes sense. But I don't like that version of the story.
No.
No?
The 21-year-old woman was walking to her office in Moscow. She came to her office and randomly found a 9mm handgun on her desk.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, this is Russia.
Yeah.
That was like the company gift for that Christmas.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Enjoy this lovely gun.
Do not use it to revolt.
The woman saw the handgun and decided to pose with the gun and try to take a selfie at the same time.
But first, let me take a selfie.
So at this she point, wasn't coordinated enough to just hit the camera button and not pull the trigger?
At this point, her finger slipped and she accidentally pressed the gun's trigger shooting herself in the temple.
Oh my gosh. Is she's alive, I take it?
Yeah, somehow she survived, but she is still in serious condition.
Well, the thing is, her head was so thick that the bullet just bounced off of it. I mean, honestly, how do you... It's like, oh no, I can't multitask. Which button do I push? Bang!
Back.
Come on, really?
First, let me take a selfie.
As for the reason why there was a gun on her desk at her
office... Yeah, wait, let's answer that question.
Apparently, a dumb security guard left it behind.
Oh my God. Why did he take his gun out? He's just like, oh, this thing is weighing me down. I'm just going to leave it here for...
And then he, like, kicks back on her chair.
Yeah.
Starts snooping around her desk.
Yeah. He brought, like, a six-pack with him. He just starts drinking. Oh, my God. What? As a security guard, how do you just leave your gun somewhere? Why is your gun out? What were you doing? Oh, man. That's good.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, this one is actually kind of a fun story to report on.
Okay.
And this one happened in Germany.
Ah, good old Germany. I don't think, have we ever been to Germany?
I don't think specifically.
Guten Tag. What story do we have from Germany?
Very nice.
I am German. Where is your German accent, Rich?
My name's Liebig, all right? That's German enough.
He's like, look, I don't got to talk German. I got the last name. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, in this story, it's pretty cool, actually. A German technology group has decided to unveil its latest creation.
Okay.
It's called the Floppy Organ.
Is it a penis?
No.
Okay.
But it is an actual working organ that uses old floppy disk drives to make music.
Oh, you mean like a musical organ?
Yes. Yes. Good one, Mike.
I thought you meant like an internal organ. Like, no. I don't know. So a floppy organ, okay. Yep. This makes a lot more sense. See, this is what the odd news has done to my mind, or it's just warped my brain. You say floppy organ, I'm like, oh, of course that means penis. Why could it mean anything else? Floppy discs, musical organs, nonsense. It's a sexual innuendo. All odd news stories are sexual innuendos. So, guy, what did they do with their floppy organ?
Well,
it sounds dirty.
The German company Toolbox Bodensen is an electronics-minded nonprofit youth group based in Markdorf, Germany. It was constructed from 49 floppy disk drives connected to a Uno controller board running a code to translate MIDI signals from a keyboard into motor pulses for the drives. All right. I hope all the nerds understood that.
Did that make any sense to anyone?
The point is this works.
Tweet us at Floppy Organ.
Hashtag Floppy Organ. Point is this works.
Okay.
And are you ready to hear some samplings?
Oh, yeah. We have some music from their floppy organ.
Yeah.
They're playing music with their floppy organ.
Yeah.
Nice.
Are you ready to hear some music?
It's just flopping around furiously.
Here we go. Some music from the floppy organ. So that's a classic one right there. How about we get to one of your favorite movies, Mike?
Okay.
The YouTube video that they've released has a brief clip of them doing the Titanic theme song. There you go.
I could not pull out the Titanic theme song from that.
It is in there a little bit.
Okay. If you say so. What were they using to make this sound again?
Floppy disk drives.
So they wired up the floppy disk drives to... This is like the sound they make when reading a floppy disk?
Yes.
And they changed the sound somehow, amplified them, and...
Yeah, and it all works with a organ keyboard.
Okay. Okay, so they wired it up to the different keys then.
Yeah.
Okay. That did not sound like Titanic. Are there any other ones, though?
Yeah, but wait. Yeah, you can hear it a little bit.
I dream, I see you, I feel you.
There's a little bit in the back.
Go on. Yeah, it's in there.
I love how you know the Titanic theme.
Like that movie.
No, you like Kate Winslet.
I do like Kate Winslet.
Everyone likes Kate Winslet.
Don't you say a bad word about
her. No, there's nothing bad about Kate Winslet.
Son of a bitch.
I said there's nothing bad about her. My Kate Winslet. Back off.
Yes. All right.
All right. I do have one more for you.
Okay.
And this one is, I think, appropriate for an outdated piece of hardware technology. The Tetris theme song.
Oh, nice.
So there you go.
Yeah, that did sound like Tetris. You know what the thing is that the disparity between the low sounds and the loud ones and the high ones is really big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tough to pull out some of those low like background sounds.
But there you go.
That's really cool, though.
If you want to check it out, it's called the technology group in Germany is called Toolbox Bodensee, and they're going to release a couple more videos in the future. So subscribe to them if you want to check out some more floppy organ music.
Nice. And it's not what you think it is. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I got one more story for you.
Okay.
And this one is just pretty awesome.
All right. What do you got?
An Australian comedian who decided to record his flatulence noticed that he accidentally farted, quote, a major seventh arpeggio in the key of B flat.
Okay.
Which apparently is an actual note in classical music.
Wow. So he has a musical ass.
Yes.
Ass music.
Yes. Lawrence Las Nattigans, a member of the comedy group Shonky Brothers, said that he was recording farts to send to his brother. Maybe, is this something else you guys do, you and Bruno?
Maybe.
Was recording farts to send to his brother when he noticed that one of his farts was a major seventh arpeggio in the key of B flat with a trill at the end.
Wow.
Which is a very rare note. So, are you ready to hear his fart?
Yeah.
Here you go. The fart that is an actual classical musical note. So that's it in the actual raw form.
Okay.
Perfect. And that's it in like an actual flute composition.
Okay. That's awesome. It does sound like exactly like that. It's so cool.
Maybe you and Bruno are going to be doing this.
Yeah, we'll have to do this now.
Well, at this point in the story, we're going to do something different.
Okay.
I'm actually going to reveal a little thing that's happened here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike, I don't know if you're aware of this.
Okay.
But your brother, Bruno, there was a reason why he was here today.
Uh-oh.
And it's because right before we started the show...
Oh, no.
Bruno decided to record a special one for you.
Yeah?
A special
message?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Are you ready for what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, that audio right there, I swear to you, Bruno will testify, that is Bruno actually farting into your microphone.
Oh, that's what that smell is. Oh, lovely. Yeah, I get hints of pasta. Yeah, oh, yeah, there's the tomato salad we had. That's awesome. That is 100% authentic John Bruno fart is what you're saying.
Yep.
He's got some meat to that one. The other guy's just like a whiner. It's like, bruh. Jamie's just like a really, a full-bodied one. Why are we analyzing farts?
I love how you're discussing it like a wine.
It's got a full-body aroma. It's got a lot of texture to it.
Fruity aftertaste. All right. So now to bring it all together, I have decided to put together the classical music.
Yeah.
Plus the guy's musical fart.
Oh, God.
Plus Bruno's fart.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready for the ultimate fart composition?
Is this a fart symphony?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Crispy Noodle Fart Symphony. Take it away.
Thank you. Bravissimo, bravissimo. Encore, encore. That was beautiful. That brought a tear to my eye. It may have been the onions in the fart, but it was still beautiful. Oh my God. I love that. That was so good. You know, it was a nice blending of techniques between the robust, bold sounds of John Bruno and the delicate, light, airy sounds of the other guy. I wish I could talk about other things this eloquently. I'm a true fart connoisseur, I guess. Yeah, this just gives a show. We're like 25, 26, and we're giggling over farts. I'm describing farts with more flowery language than I have described anything with. Oh, my God.
There you go.
That's beautiful. Wow. I'm speechless. These farts were amazing.
There you go. Wow. That's what I have in the non-fortune cookie-odd news.
Oh. That was good. That was brilliant.
So, give a special shout out to Lawrence Laz Nanigans and John Bruno Costanzo with that wonderful contribution.
Are they going to be touring?
They might.
Have they announced tour dates? What about an album? They're going to release a single first.
That might be the single.
That might be the single, yeah. Oh, wow.
All right. Well,
before we wrap up the show, we like to recap all the lessons that we've learned. It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned?
I have learned that on the podcast, we are fart connoisseurs. We have analyzed and broken down these farts and talked about them and such eloquent language. Brings a tear to my eye. Remix them. fart jokes never get old, I don't think.
No.
We also learned that floppy organ is totally a sexual innuendo and not a musical instrument.
It can be both now.
It can be both now, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We also learned that in the future, me and JB will end up throwing bricks at each other in Florida. That story was very strange.
There's bricks lying around.
Yeah.
Two 52-year-old men are angry at each other.
Clubbing each other with bricks. It's just craziness in Florida. But speaking of Florida, Rich, you had this gem. You said everyone in Florida has a record. Richly Big 2015.
Yep, I stand by that.
Stand by it, yeah. I mean, it's basically true. Look at all the stories we've covered.
Yeah.
It's gotta be close to 1,000 Florida stories.
At this point.
Oh my gosh, so many. We also know that owls are awesome attorneys. They're really tough questioners. Woo. They just keep drilling you with the same question.
Boy. Hammering the point.
Yeah, really. They just won't let you get away with anything. We also learned about your theme song for summer of 2015, barbecue style.
Yeah, there we go.
Nom, 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 nom,
barbecue style.
Yeah. I want to hear it. I want to hear it, remixed.
Coming soon.
Yeah. We also learned that Alabama has a lot of weird laws.
Yeah.
There's a strange, crazy
Could
amount
be its
of
its own segment.
Yeah, really, just Alabama laws.
Yeah.
That's all that I learned. Have you learned anything, Rich, about farts or floppy organs or anything?
I've learned that you can kick people out of a baseball game before it even starts.
Yeah, you can.
And the NBA lottery sucks.
Yes, it does. But now we have an awesome new NBA segment.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
So there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
Woo! What a show, Mike.
What an awesome show.
I hope you liked the finale there with the fart finale.
The fart finale, yes. I loved it. It was great. The flatulence finale.
Folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. We may have
flatulence free, or maybe not. I don't know.
We might have more farts there or not. I don't know. But we've got the whole library of podcasts. We've got articles and other fun stuff. Check out the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some of our best bits videos, interviews, and other fun stuff. Maybe we'll have some flatulent stuff up there. I don't know. But you can also remember, most importantly, to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your phone, your tablet, or your computer. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right, and if you want to have the Crispy Noodle on the go, we have mini noodles where we take the best bits of the show and we condense them down to a 1 to 2 minute clip that you can easily share with friends and family, farting partners, and
farting partners,
floppy disk drives.
Never fart without a partner. It's very dangerous. It's like crossing the street. Always make sure you have a buddy.
Yep, floppy disk drives. Brothers who are throwing bricks at you. It's a great way to share the Crispy Noodle Podcast to them.
Yes.
Check out our mini noodles on our SoundCloud page. All you got to do is search the Crispy Noodle.
And we also have, so there's tons of ways to get in touch with us, share the Crispy Noodle, but if you want to get in touch with us individually, we also have individual Twitter accounts. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLieBig. That's how you get us on the Twitters individually. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it.
Oh, man, another great episode.
We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow! Something!